Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio. Just a pack of puny humans.
Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance, where some topics just need discussing. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
I'm Damien.
And this week, supervillains.
You're so evil, 'cause you're so evil.
I don't have a pun.
Oh, no,
you
quit.
Both turned to me, and I didn't have one. Because
I expected more.
I'm kind of disappointed. This is actually just a question that I've thought of now. Is there a category of supervillains? Like, is that the base? What I mean is, are you like villain? Pretty good villain.
Oh, okay.
Supervillain.
Oh.
Hypervillain. Ultravillain. Fuck yeah villain.
Who's a fuck yeah villain? Is Ultron an ultravillain?
Nah, he's a okay.
I think the god level supervillains would be the fuck yeah villains.
Fuck yeah.
Like what? Who's the giant one who literally eats worlds?
I think you've done
Galactus.
Galactus must be a fuck
yeah. No, I reckon they just have to be good. Like Hannibal Lecter would be fuck yeah villain.
Oh, okay.
So you've got too many categories and they're confusing already because I wouldn't have put a human in a fuck yeah. Like Hannibal Lecter is villain. Just like Zemo is villain.
Yeah, I thought
And then you've got powered ones as super villains.
I could see how you'd be confused because we're talking about comic book movies.
Yeah,
you've both gone the way and I've just fucked it.
You've gone your way.
I thought your rankings were levels of power, but they're actually Tom's preference.
Well, that's level I have for everything.
Yeah, okay.
If you ask me about like hotel rooms and what floor of a hotel I'm staying on, I'll say I'm on level one. I might be on level 20, but I say level one because it's my room and it's the room I prefer
to
be on.
It's number fucking one.
So
that's weird.
I don't, Sean. It was a bit. It wasn't good. See, you pressured me into doing something funny.
I didn't get what I wanted.
And I didn't fucking want. What did you want me to do?
What do we love about villains? Super villains.
Super
like,
villains.
So comic book movie villains.
Comic book movie villains. MCU villains, DCEU villains.
I think it's someone who's broken but has extreme power. Or the fact that they're broken drives them to extremes. Yeah. I don't know. It's one or the other. Maybe both. I don't fucking know.
The reason I bring up Fox is because
I forgot that they existed, actually.
And the reason I say this is Magneto is one of the best comic book villains
he is.
Going around.
Yeah,
in that, like a Loki, he's interchangeable from being a hero or an anti-hero at least, to being then the out-and-out bad guy. And I like a villain whose point of view, even if I don't agree with,
you can get behind.
I can understand.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what? Magneto, you're just as bad as humans if you want to round up all the humans and kill them. But I get why you're doing it because concentration camps and humans are shitty. I get why he's a product of his environment and I understand why he does the thing he does.
Magneto is a good example in comparison with Loki because both of them have been used now to the extent where it's worn off a bit for me. I'm kind of like, all right, how many X-Men films have we had now? And
17.
Magneto's been in all of them.
Yeah.
Like all the main X-Men films. He's been the antagonist, not the main antagonist, but he's been in all of them. And at a certain point, you're just kind of like, all right, how many times is he going to go off and meet another woman and have a kid and then have humans fuck shit up again? And then we're repeating history here.
His best turn is in X2.
I think everyone's was.
Yeah. Well, no, but in terms of his character, like it's where you understand him is that even though he's doing the right thing, he wants to because he wants to help Xavier. He's like, no, I do want to help you, man, and I want to help these mutant kids.
Yeah.
At the moment, our visions cross over. If while I'm there, I can also find a way to kill most of humanity.
Yeah.
I'm doing that as well because they're shitty.
X2 is great because it. I mean, Brian Cox's villain, Stryker.
Yeah,
he's fantastic in that film. You know what he wants. You know the fear that drives him, and it's like, all right, fine. Like you said, I don't agree with you and what you're doing as a villain, but I can believe it, which is at complete odds with someone like Malekith from Thor Dark World, whose literal thing is...
Didn't even know his name.
World domination.
Yeah.
Thor the Dark World is the, I reckon, the only MCU film that I have seen once.
Yeah.
I'll never watch it again. Mm. It's just so bland.
Yeah, I think I've seen it 1.5 times because I had to stop. Had to do it. I think I was even like probably on my computer or whatever. I'm like, nah. Can't even have it on the background.
Oh, it's the other thing I will say that villains that I like, yes, it's cool to have like a dark and thematic and have that kind of character. At the same time though, and Magneto ticks this box as well, there needs to be an element of fun in inverted commas, because we're in a comic book world. It's a hyper real world, and these are super villains. These are the most exaggerated thing. So Magneto's cool because he can like throw bullets back at people.
Yeah. And you don't have to lose the seriousness.
No.
Dark Knight, the Joker's having a fucking great time.
Right.
And that's a bleak film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to compromise on it.
And like I think the seriousness comes from the empathy you have with what's turned them towards villainy. There's part of you.
No one's born a villain.
That's it. Part of you's gone, well, that could be me. If I had those series of events happen to me, can I say I wouldn't do that? But then the fun comes from their solution to that. They're like, well, you know what? I'm going to strap on some vulture wings and I'm going to go fucking terrorize some people.
Well, here's a point I want to make, which you may get to later, Sean. Sorry if I'm getting in ahead.
Go for it, mate.
You just reminded me of the other great thing about villains and the thing that they have to be that's fantastic is, and to lead into this, I'm going to use a quote from the second season of Daredevil, which is every villain needs to just be the hero on a bad day.
Yes,
and there's that great line where the Punisher's got Daredevil on the rooftop and he just says, you're one bad day away from being me. Mm. It's the reason the Joker works is that he is everything that Batman isn't. The reason Magneto works is that him and Charles want the same things. They're just going about it in vastly different ways.
Yep.
We go back to Daredevil. Daredevil and the Kingpin both want to do exactly the same thing. They want to fix Hell's Kitchen.
Yep.
They both care about where they live. They care about the community. They just are going about it in vastly different ways. Mm. And I think that's what you need from your villain, because what that does is it means your hero is instantly more interesting. If your hero is your villain on a good day, your villain's more interesting because they're so close. It's that whole like opposite thing of, you know, the Sherlock, you know, you go back, I know we're out of comic books here, but you go back to someone like Sherlock and Moriarty. Moriarty is literally Sherlock Holmes without a moral compass. And Sherlock doesn't have a great moral compass to start with.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same thing. It's the Batman, the Joker. I'm trying to think. And that's why someone like Malekith doesn't work, is that him and Thor aren't trying to do the same thing.
Mm. No.
Loki and Thor are both trying to do the same thing. They want approval from their dad and also to rule Asgard and live up to their expectations. Yeah. That's why their relationship works. You don't see it any better than in the most recent Thor film, where it's like, we both kind of want the same thing. We grew up together. Yeah. We're actually kind of close. We're just completely different people.
Mm.
Like, we're just not the same person. So sometimes that means we're going to clash.
Yeah.
There's your good villains.
I think you're spot on, because I think oftentimes you'll watch a film and, you know, we're targeting superhero films here, and if the villain's not working, it's usually because we get so focused on the hero's journey that we actually forget that it's the villain that drives the whole thing.
Mm.
You're only a hero because you're responding to the acts of a villain.
Right.
And we so often forget that. We're focused on, oh, what do we want Thor to do? What's this character going to do? It's like the villain calls all the shots in the story and is in control up until the end when they ultimately lose and they're not.
Mm.
And we forget about it when we write.
Or win in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just think that's probably the biggest problem that plagues a superhero film, is it's like, no, but the most important thing is the hero, because his name's on the poster and it's his story and it's the hero's journey. But it's like, no,
you get the villain right, the hero will come easy.
Yeah.
Charles Xavier's good. He's better when Magneto exists. And he's better when Magneto exists because they're friends. They both want the same things. And it becomes an interesting plot point, because, you know, no matter what Magneto does, no matter how far he goes, because of the relationship he has with Charles Xavier, Charles will never kill him. And vice versa. Magneto might leave Charles for dead, but he'd never kill him.
Yep. Right. If your hero is just responding to a disaster in the form of a person, then that person is interchangeable with any other villain. They're That's interchangeable right. with just literally a fucking volcano, for fuck's sake. Like, there needs to be that emotional connection to the villain for the hero to give them far more purchase, like you just demonstrated.
Do you think there's any any argument to be said that, like, this is a particular thing that plagues comic book films because often those characters have to be larger than life. So do you think that the failure of a villain is more, I guess, noticeable in a big film like this than in a drama?
Maybe, but also no, because they're using source material that already exists. Mm. So these villains already have backstory. Like, Magneto has all of his backstory done.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't have to start from scratch. It's all there. It's just how you do it. If you do it in a lazy, shitty way, or you retcon it in like a Spider-Man 3 kind of thing, or you just... And again, this isn't going to sound like me being a dickhead, being like, oh, but it's like in the book. There's nothing wrong with adapting a villain and doing something different with them, a la Christopher Nolan's Joker, or even Christopher Nolan's Ra's al Ghul. I think it's a bit of a cop-out to be like, oh, they're going to be larger than life. No, the parts are already there.
Mm.
It's just, and in the examples that you've got, they care more about a cool spectacle blockbuster thing than a fleshed-out villain. Like, I'm even thinking, like, you look at something like Ant-Man, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here. That villain, you can actually tell, even within the film, there are bits that don't make it into the film that actually build him back into a villain that you get.
Yeah, because the pieces are there with Darren Cross.
They just... Again, didn't remember his name. Old mate.
Yellow Jacket.
Corey Stoll?
Yeah, it's Corey Stoll.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned categories before, because I thought where you were going with that was you have, within these superhero films, I think subcategories, and I would put them as like CGI versus human. Yeah. So you've got Thanos versus Zemo, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Or even, where's Malekith fit in that? Because he's makeup, isn't he?
Well, and then you've got like other ones, I guess, who want world domination versus the small personal stakes.
Yeah.
And I think there is definitely a correlation between the ones who are human and also want the personal stakes that are the better villains for me.
But having said that, Loki wants to destroy Earth in the Avengers, but not because he wants to destroy Earth, because he wants the satisfaction of proving that he's like worth something to Asgard.
That's exactly what it is. Crucially, and they don't always get this right, but it's the what do they want and what do they need? Loki wants to dominate the world. What he needs is approval of his father.
Yeah.
And Thor.
Yep. Far too often, what do they want to dominate the world? What do they need to dominate the world?
That's exactly what Malekith, a character like, we keep ragging on this guy, but he's probably
the worst,
for my money, the shittest villain that we've had in a while.
He's the best
time.
Example of this problem that is sort of plaguing comic book villains.
Yeah.
Where, all he wants is to destroy the world. Like, literally, what's your plan after that? Like, what's the follow-on?
Yeah.
There isn't one.
Crucially, why do we care?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
You've given us, like, and you can be lazy about it. It could be anything. It could be, Thor and his people, or Odin killed your daughter back in the day.
Sure.
Killed someone you love. Something just as simple as that. And you go, I can kind of feel for him a little bit. But there was just literally no effort. It was, I want to dominate the world, and that's it.
And they've already teased at the thing that Odin's not a good dude.
Mm. Yeah.
Like in the first film, the third film, there's constant references to the fact that Odin's a bit of a shithead.
Bit of a dick.
Early on.
Yeah.
There is and that would kind of tie in nicely to Hela in that, we killed Malekith. That was fucking rat.
Yeah.
Mm. Now he's a puss babe. Like, what the fuck's this? This is bullshit. And I think they get stuck on, we got to find the biggest way to escalate the stakes for the final fight. And then lately, though, I feel like they've course corrected a bit.
Superhero films got into that state where it was like every film has to end with buildings being smashed, the world in peril. But the stories that I personally connect more with are ones like Zemo, where it's kind of like, no. Mm. Like, I know I can't beat you guys, but I can tear you apart from the inside out.
Yeah, yeah.
See, the thing I like about him is,
I don't necessarily want to win. I don't want you to lose.
That's it. Yeah. And because of that, he's actually more likely to destroy our hero than the big bad villain who wants to destroy the world.
Yeah.
Like, they've just got to punch him the right way or use the right fucking weapon at some point. Where this other guy, if he can break them from the inside out, there's no coming back from that.
And he doesn't have to do a lot.
No.
He just has to wake up Bucky and that's it.
Yeah. You know what I love too about Zemo? He is a great example of when they've absolutely got it right, I think, is that this is a particular Marvel issue. There's often a joke that follows a serious action from a villain, and there is none of that present with Zemo.
No. Because at the very end of his spiel where he kind of explains what he's doing, he gets exactly what he wants. Tony Stark and Iron Man start beating the shit out of one another.
Yeah.
And then you literally have Stark smashing, Roger smashing Stark's heart. Yeah. Not that it's there anymore.
But it's the symbol.
What it is. Mm. Yeah.
And then you couple that with the fact that Zemo then has this really pitiful, depressed kind of thing with Black Panther at the end.
Yeah.
Where he's like, kill me. And Panther's like, oh, that's what you want. Oh, fuck.
Mm.
No, I can't kill you then.
I would have loved if Zemo died.
He's probably the only one that
I'm curious to see what they do with him moving forward. Right. But his for his arc, it would have just been nice. He got everything he wanted.
It would have been perfect, yeah.
The hero won. Yep. Sorry, the villain won.
Yeah. It's even a bit like in Seven, you know, where he's open the box, kill me, great. There's my Seven, prove my point. As well as, and this is another problem with Marvel villains or superhero villains, if they go on to fight another day, there's just more chance for them to fuck up the villain story. He had a great story. He had a great reason for what he was doing. And then he got it. Like, what's going to make him do it again?
You're going to retroactively make that worse.
Right.
But there are some that you can keep around. Like, I think Vulture's ending where he goes to jail is perfect. Keep him exactly the way he is.
I don't know why they kept Zemo.
Unless you're never going to see him again.
No, but I think you will. Like, they imply that. Martin Freeman sees him at the end and he's like, oh, we stopped you. And he's like, did you? And it's like, well, clearly they're
I took that as not like, I'm going to come back. I took that as, we stopped you. And he's like, did you? Because Iron Man and Tony Stark aren't talking.
Little thing called Iron Civil Man. War, friends.
Yeah, Civil War happened. Captain America's now a fugitive.
It's the fact that it's a comic book universe and they've kept a villain alive. Mm. We'll see that guy again.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I wish we won't.
Yeah, because Loki's one of, for me, diminishing returns, I think. And he got a little bit of a kick because of Taika Waititi, I think, did a great job with Thor and kind of revitalized that a little bit. But Loki's another one where I'm like, all right, every Thor film, he's going to like betray them. And that's his thing. I'm like, I don't really need this anymore.
No, but I don't think you're going to get it ever again.
I kind of hope I don't, because if there's one issue with the Avengers.
He's already done it.
I'll tell you.
Because you see him walk past the Tesseract. My thing is he fucking took it. He's got it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be a big factor.
And like that is one thing I like about Loki, that it's in his nature. Like
He can't help himself.
He can't help himself, which is really good, because you even see that he can be good. And maybe sometimes he even wants to be good, but then he kind of generally can't help himself. He's got
that whole thing where he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna help Thor." Even then, he's like, "No, I'm still gonna betray him.
Yeah,
I don't even want to, but I'm just gonna because I can."
Yeah,
and that's a nice thing is that you have that. So what would be nice is if they eventually have him where he finally does actually do the right thing and fucks it up. Everyone's like, "You did the wrong thing." He's like, "No, I actually didn't," or he does.
Mm.
My thing is that he's got the Tesseract and old mate's going to take it off him.
Right.
And there's no way he's going to be willing to give that to Thanos because he doesn't want to be ruled.
No.
He wants to rule.
Yeah.
Kind of two emperors.
The way I'd like to get more Loki is for him to actually have his own movie.
Okay.
And this leads into the comic book villain thing because, as we all know, every villain should actually see themselves as the hero. And with people like Loki or Zemo, you're like, oh, totally, I can see why they think of themselves as the hero. Where for so many of them, you're like, how can you justify your actions?
Yeah.
As a human being or
as a whatever
human being, whatever version of human being you are, how can you think the actions you're taking are in any way heroic or the right thing to do, or there's no justification for the actions? So I can't get behind them and I can't believe them as a character.
Who are the characters then outside of those ones you mentioned that stand out as having got that right?
Besides what, Zemo, Vulture and Loki?
Yep.
Across, because I'm also thinking DC too.
Yeah,
I'd go
DC, and I forget about things like Nolan stuff. So I mean, you also got to factor in, I think, Batman.
Most of Nolan stuff works, with the exception of Talia and the second half of Bane.
Yeah, Bane. The first half of Bane. Not even the whole second half. He just sort of trails off.
It's just the third act of Bane.
Disappointingly, right at the end. Because that's another, I think, subcategory. You've got villains in these films who are their own boss, and then you've got ones like Bane who you realize are not.
Yeah, you're a glorified henchman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, like most recently, we just watched Black Panther, or Damo and I have, so Killmonger definitely ticks a lot of those boxes.
For sure.
Because he actually goes, sorry to cut you off, man, he goes to the extent where he overshadows T'Challa.
Did you walk out of that film being like, I wanted Eric to win?
Fuck yeah, I did. 100%. T'Challa is kind of, I don't want to call him bland, but there just wasn't quite enough of that development for that character for me to be like, yeah, I'm with you, man. You want to be with a hero.
Yeah.
When they win, you want to be like, fuck yeah, you did it. But with this, I was kind of like, nah, I totally understand where Killmonger was coming from.
Maybe that's it, though. Maybe all they did was they've just bossed the villain up so that now you walk out going, oh, I get why the hero did what he does. I'm also with the hero. I'm also with the villain. I'm conflicted.
When you put it like that, well done to him, because it works. Yeah. But yeah, there is a part of me that just...
More of that, please.
I just find it slightly problematic that I'm siding with a villain.
But is he a bad guy? Because I side with Magneto all the time.
He's some of his actions are bad, but you can totally see where it's coming from.
His intention, his sort of principle behind what he's doing...
He wants to be king, yeah?
No, he kind of wants Wakanda to go out and help other countries, to use the power and technology they've got
to rather than being an insular society. He's like, you could prevent so much shit and you're not doing it.
But the way he wants them to do that is to go to war against other countries, to supply guns to other countries. So his principle is arguably heroic and we can get behind that. And I think that's awesome. That's what makes him so great. But his way of doing it, again, this is where there's the mirror.
It's the how to go, not the intention.
And what I like most about the sort of the way it ends is that he is the catalyst for T'Challa to make a change in himself. Yeah. But T'Challa's actually going to do it the right way, because the ultimately throwing more guns out into the world is not the right way to do it. So you kind of get that satisfaction of the principle, but yeah, the right way to do it. It's him on a good day.
He's just so full of anger as a character that even then you can still understand why he's making these kind of dubious decisions in the way that he wants to achieve.
Because it's the only thing he knows.
But it's
Magneto. It's the only thing he knows.
But it's actually quite sad and beautiful too, because T'Challa knows it was him, not specifically him, but his father and his people that have pushed this person. Like, they've done this to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of those sort of stories. They've made him.
Yep.
Yeah. Much like Zemo. Zemo was made from the superheroes.
And Vulture.
And the way they reveal, they get to a certain point in Black Panther where you get like some flashbacks and you get your reasons. Because Killmonger's not really much of a presence in the first hour of that film. That's probably one of the only things I could be like, oh, I wish he was in a little bit more, because he's cool. You see him for like one or two scenes.
Yeah, but I don't mind that, because there is a bit of a bait and switch with
Claw.
Other guy. Claw, thank you.
Yeah.
And like Claw coming in, Claw's a good villain to talk about as well, because I came in thinking, oh, he is the major villain. Like I would have thought that, saying that. I read too much about it to think that. But watching it, I didn't know what was going to happen with him, because I'm like, well, he's not going to be, but they're sort of setting him up to be the main one. And he's an interesting one, because he doesn't have a lot of, like me saying, I want to be able to get behind what they're doing and see them as the hero. Well, he's kind of just crazy.
Yeah, but that's fine.
That's what I was going to say. This is another category, which is, I guess, believable crazy. They're not putting on airs of, I'm doing this for the right reasons. They're like, nah, man, I'm fucking crazy. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, they're so far broken that you're like, I can get it. Yeah. Because if I was that broken, I was that messed up.
They don't actually have a plan.
They just
need to break stuff.
Yeah.
He does have, like, but Claw, he's actually an interesting character. I didn't find him nearly as irritating as some people in reviews have and that sort of thing. There's that moment, you know, when they're in the art gallery or whatever it is, and he says to they kill all the guards except one, and he says to him, pulls him in, and he goes, you can run for it. And
the guy's like, don't tell anyone. You can go.
Just run. Starts running, and then he shoots him. And then it's kind of like, oh, he's the big bad. But there's a bit of method to his madness, because then Killmonger's like, what are you doing, man? He kind of goes, you don't want to kill them all close. Make them scattered, and then the authorities think that we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah,
we look like amateurs.
It's the Joker thing.
Yeah.
It looks like chaos, but it's actually organized. Mm. They're fun characters.
I liked him quite a bit.
I did too. That's what I was getting at. Like, because I think they almost go in the face of what we've been saying, where you're like, oh, but they've got to have purchase, we've got to have believability and empathy, where you don't really have that for them, but there's still some weird understanding where you're like, a sort of a terrible self-awareness that, hey, I might actually just fucking snap one day, and I can't say that I wouldn't.
You know what
that
is,
character.
Though, Damo? That's a writer who knows the rules, and then they've gone, oh, we'll just tweak it for this one guy. It worked for him. I really like that character.
Agreed, and it works for other characters. Like, even the Joker, he does have a reason, but his reason is chaos.
Mm.
But yeah, he's one of the greatest comic book villains of all
time. He also doesn't care. But the other thing, he has a plan. He actually doesn't care if he gets hurt, though.
Mm.
And so that's his, let's have the rules and break it. He doesn't actually care if he wins or loses, just as long as someone gets blown up on the way.
Right.
Because even in the fights he puts himself in, he's never going to win a lot of those fights.
Yeah, yeah.
He robs a bank going, oh, this would probably work.
Mm.
But he walks in with grenades in that meeting that he's fully prepared to just blow himself up for fun.
He's the most fascinating comic book movie villain
we've had. I think he gets a bit of each category almost.
He does.
Because he does have a goal ultimately, which is to show Batman, to show the rest of the world, you are one bad day away from being me.
Everyone's like me. Yeah, everyone's like me.
But then he's also that crazy chaos, I'm doing it for the chuckles sort of guy as well.
The thing I love the most about Heath Ledger's Joker is just you get a couple of moments throughout the film that are spread out where he explains his backstory, but it's always different.
Mm.
And so there's, I don't know, just for me, I don't know why, but you're almost rooting for the Joker in that film in a weird way. It's another example. It's like Black Panther, where you've got your antagonist who is a bit more colourful and a bit more interesting. It's a tricky balance because Bruce Wayne's never going to be more interesting if they nail a villain. If they get a villain right, he would never be more interesting than Joker or Riddler or, you know, characters like that. Two-Face, he just shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, he's the straight
man. But even Nolan's Two-Face is brilliant. You get why Harvey Dent's doing everything he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a man who tried so hard to do good, but Gotham is so bad.
Yeah.
Fuck it. It's so bad that it doesn't matter what I do, something bad's going to happen. So I might as well make it 50-50.
Might as well leave it to chance.
It's just chance.
Even Ra's al Ghul, Liam Neeson's one, that's a character I'm like, I'm kind of behind what he's doing.
Yeah. He could have died at the start.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I agree. I get what he's doing. He's like, well, look at Gotham. It is a shithole. Like, it is a bed of infamy. Like, let's just burn it down.
Yeah.
Let's just get rid of it then. We've done it before. It worked great. Like, let's do it again.
That great line of his where he's like, you know, and for Gotham, we introduced economics.
Yeah.
Like, they're just trying to destroy it with capitalism. It's like, fuck.
It's amazing.
It's brilliant.
It's something that back then particularly was more clever than what belonged in a superhero film. I think Batman Begins is quite underrated.
It is.
It's definitely an above average comic book film.
For sure.
And you even get the crazy part in Begins with the Scarecrow. Mm. In that he's actually got a plan, but it's not very good.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit too wrapped up in his own shit.
Yeah.
So that every time you see him and he's a little bit more fucked up, it makes sense.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Batman has great villains.
Batman has great villains. There's this amazing talk, and I'm blanking what it is. I'll throw it up on Twitter or something like that. This guy talks about Batman Begins, and he goes through the three villains and Batman, and he talks about each of the ways they use fear. So for Scarecrow, he uses it to basically kind of like make criminals afraid.
Yeah,
because he's psychotic. Batman does the same thing, but he does it for good reasons.
Yeah,
he's doing it to protect. Ra's al Ghul uses fear on innocence. And who am I leaving?
Is it Falcone?
Falcone. He does it just for personal gain. And again, he does it to innocence.
Yeah.
And basically, you can break it down into sort of four acts where each of the other ones kind of get disproven that their method is shit. Yeah. So the only one left is Batman. So his sort of method must be clever. The right way. And it's a great video. Like I said, I'll throw it up on Twitter and it really breaks down. And like also I love that you've got three very different villains and they all very different purposes, but they all work.
Mm.
And like that's a masterclass.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Because like, I think of all the heroes, Batman and Spider-Man have like the best sort of rogues gallery of villains to pull from.
I agree. Mm. But I think in terms of having another villain that works so well to their hero that they fucked up badly in films, is someone like Lex Luthor to Superman.
Yeah.
He makes so much sense. Because he's the guy who was doing all the things and he's the king dick. And then a fucking bulletproof alien shows up and is like the
beloved
boss. He's beloved. And he's like, hang on. Really?
Yeah.
One, that depending on the iteration you get, it's often that guy is super dangerous. We need to control him. Or two, what are all the things that my company has done for you guys?
Mm.
And he often comes from a place of, I'm not a bad guy. I'm just, I want the same thing Superman does. I'm just doing it in a different way because I don't have superpowers. Fuck that guy. And then it becomes jealousy or envy and it becomes obsession. So he's a fascinating character to explore and they
Small,
fuck him up.
Smallville Lex Luthor? Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Because he was proper twisted.
Yeah.
And you
but,
could
but
see
But he
it.
Starts off as a human. He starts off as Clark's friend and you're like, and he genuinely is. He's his good friend. And then he gets more and more obsessed with Superman and goes off the rails.
The beat in that show when he learns that Clark Kent is Superman is he's so angry. It's just like...
How many seasons did you wait?
I think I got 4.
Mm.
I watched it all. It's trash, but that's, I like it.
Is it
I'm never going to watch
comic
it.
Which comic is
probably.
It? Is it For All Seasons?
Superman or? For All Seasons.
That's the for me, like it's a Superman comic, but for me it's a Lex Luthor story because you get to the end of that and you go, this is a man who, like you said, did everything for the people. And you just see so clearly why he got twisted because this alien just is beloved by everyone. And he's like, what about me? He just wants to be loved. That's Lex Luthor's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to be loved. He wants approval.
Yeah.
And I think making him fucking
he wants to be successful. He
crazy.
Needs approval.
Doesn't
that's
work.
His thing.
Yes.
The decision to have Eisenberg play him as kind of like a Zuckerberg sort of person just doesn't work for all the reasons we just talked about. You need someone a little bit older, someone a little bit more worldly, someone who has worked for an extended period of time and worked quite hard. I didn't get the idea that Zuckerberg's character is that. He feels like the kind of character who's just a bit of a genius and has got this empire now. He's got this money. Whereas you want someone who's come from nothing, done it all, and not been praised by anyone for it.
Right. You could still have Eisenberg have that and just have that he's a genius. But he's like trying to do all these really cool things. But the only thing they know him for is his electronic car. Like, so imagine he's like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Right. And no one talks about the great, you know, energy saver things he's doing or the environmental work. They're just talking about that cool watch he invented.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm more than the watch.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing all this shit. And so you can see how a guy who is, because already he's fundamentally flawed because he is worrying about what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah.
You can then tap into that nicely. And I think he works very well. But I agree that in terms of variety, Spider-Man and Batman have the best.
I think so. Superman's always problematic for his villains, and this is why I think sometimes his villains are just bland. He's too hard to beat, and it's like, what can we do? We have to literally come up with characters like Doomsday, who just are nothing. They're just big monsters.
Because if they're a reflection of the superhero, Superman is basically nothing. Like, he's too much of a good Boy Scout that what's the reflection of that? There isn't one.
That's why Lex Luthor has to be the reflection of Clark Kent.
Yes. The best way to do a villain in a film for Superman, I think, is to go the Lex Luthor route. Because there's just
it Batman.
There's no point trying to match him on a physical level unless you do the Batman stuff, I guess. Have someone come in and just turn the people against him. That's the way to do it, I think. Yeah.
Which is what they almost do in
BVS, to pull it off.
But they just don't nail the landing. Even in Man of Steel, they set it up nicely and they just don't stick it.
This is a bit of a different one, but how do you approach Suicide Squad? Because in that, you've got an entire film of villains.
Yeah, but they're not... They're a team of villains, but in terms of
they're
story...
cheap villains?
Well, no. In terms of story, they're not the villains of the story.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So they are the heroes of their story.
So in Thor Ragnarok, Loki's not a villain.
Yeah, okay, yep.
But he's a villain, but he's not a villain in the terms of that story. Yeah. Even in Thor the Dark World, he's not a villain.
Yeah.
He's just a villain who happens to be in that story. In Suicide Squad, the real villain is Amanda Waller.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm. They don't.
Or
they don't
Jared
stick
Leto,
the
if you do
that
properly.
And even Jared Leto, they don't. I mean, we end up getting Enchantress, who is just. Like,
shouldn't be her. It should be Amanda Waller.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
Because she's not a good person.
No. Yeah.
She risks their lives to save herself.
Yeah.
And hundreds die because she's not good.
She's a piece of shit.
She's a piece of shit. She should be the villain. And that's where it works. So, Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes isn't even probably the villain of Winter Soldier. It's
Alexander Pierce.
It's Alexander Pierce.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy, but he's actually an anti-hero.
Yeah.
And he's used later on. He's a villain again. He appears as a character again as a villain in Civil War, but he's a good guy.
No, sorry, Pierce isn't in Civil War, though.
No, I'm talking about Bucky Barnes.
Oh, Bucky. Sorry, yeah.
That's another example, of like a villain not being a villain necessarily in terms of a story.
Yeah.
Thing. I guess it's like who's a villain and who's the antagonist to the story, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think Suicide Squad shouldn't be a problem for having too many villains because they're the heroes in this version of the story.
So in terms of attacking that as a writer, it's the same as doing any superhero movie. It's
correct.
Just
making the good guys.
That's a good point.
Just making the good guys.
Yeah.
So if you look at Civil War, Tony is the antagonist?
Yes.
Mm.
So that's just, it's fantastic that Marvel have the ability to actually do that within their own franchise, to take their probably their most popular hero and kind of make him the bad guy, but still do it in a way where it's very much like when we watch The Prestige.
Yeah.
You go back and forth on which character, what side you're on, who you care about.
And at the end, you kind of land and go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's kind of what they're doing with this. Like, they're bringing a complexity to it that in the past wouldn't have belonged in a comic book film. And that's kind of, that's brilliant, really.
Yeah, because there is, like, especially with the problem in Civil War, there is no right answer.
Yeah.
Like, how can you possibly give a right answer? They're saving people. That's good. People are getting hurt because they're saving people. That's not good. But do you want them to not save people? Like, there is no right answer. So it's great that you've got this friction, but you're right. They would never have started the MCU with a movie like that. But they've done the work and now they've earned it and they've delivered. And
whereas DC were like, oh, no, we'll do that as our second fucking movie.
Yeah, let's throw that right out there.
DC see that work and go, we can just do that. And they rush all the, like, it's like building a house. They haven't done the foundations for what they need. And so it all kind of crumbles down.
There's no nuance to it.
You need to set it up so that you would accept Batman's the villain.
Yeah.
Because it's a Superman film. His name is, Batman's name's first. But it's a Superman film.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it should be a Superman film and Batman should be the bad guy.
Great things in the comics where Batman, even when he's like on everybody's team and it's great, he's got files on everybody.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like he knows how to defeat everybody because he's just prepared and he has to be because he's a man.
Yeah, he's got kryptonite in the cupboard always.
There's a great comic arc, this is getting completely off track, where someone breaks into his facility and actually steals his contingency plans and uses them against the Justice League.
Yeah.
And he helps them get away in the end. And then at the end, they're like, we're kicking you out of the Justice League, man. Because what's your contingency? He's like, I don't have one. And like, it's bull. Like, I get it. So he's like, I don't want the Justice League. I'm leaving. And he walks away. And Clark Kent follows him out. He's like, I don't believe you. He's like, what do you mean? He goes, you would have a contingency plan. Like, you are not good enough or smart enough to not think that you yourself will one day be compromised.
Yeah.
What is it? And Batman gets in the lift, and just as the doors are closing, just says, it's the Justice League of America, and the doors shut. And you're like, oh, yeah, Batman.
Yes.
Bring that into a movie.
He can isolate them all on their own, but if they're together, they're going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's great.
That
I love
is
it.
So fantastic. Good. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to rattle off a few names
of
villains.
Okay. Speed round.
Traumatis.
Yeah. Whiplash, Iron Man 2.
Get rid of him.
Not needed.
No, he's not.
We've got Hammer.
Sam Rockwell.
Mickey Rourke is so frustrated because he said that they brought him on board and he thought the character was like much bigger than it was. And a lot of it got left on the cutting room floor and stuff like that. So I kind of wonder what it was. And if it's just Mickey Rourke being like, I'm a big deal. I don't know. But do you think you need a Whiplash in that film? Because Justin Hammer's, he's an intellectual threat, not a physical threat.
Right, yeah.
Make him better then. Make him Claw.
Make Whiplash Claw.
So make Whiplash come after Stark. Is that how it happens in the film? Whiplash goes after Stark on his own and then teams up with Hammer?
Because he has that vendetta against Stark or Stark's dad or whatever.
Because he stole his
Goes to the F1 race, smashes up the car, and then Justin Hammer breaks him out. Because like, I like you. I can use you. And then
You know, I think you need a physical threat. You know, make the physical threat fucking War Machine.
That early?
Yeah. Test the friendship.
But the government weren't against him at that point. It was more privatized. It was Justin Hammer being like, I want to take your business down. War Machine doesn't factor in yet, I don't think.
Well, then alter Justin Hammer so that he's a senator as well as a private citizen.
Because he's got the government side.
He's got both.
That's interesting because they haven't really used War Machine against Tony, have they?
And he's originally, I'm pretty sure, an adversary before they team up.
Yeah. Were they always friends, though?
Yeah, I think so. They've always known one another.
Okay.
Anyway.
Abomination. Do you guys remember him?
From Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, he's not the villain.
You think in General Ross.
General Ross is the villain.
Yeah. What do you think of the reuse of him?
Ross?
They brought him back in Civil War.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's their way of saying, no, the Incredible Hulk is definitely part of the MCU.
And it's their way of doing that because they also do it in in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's a throwaway line.
Oh, yeah.
Where Coulson says to a guy, like, if you keep that up, you'll be on cleaning duty in Alaska with, what's his name, Blomsky?
Oh, okay.
And the guy's like, oh, no. He's like, yeah, I thought so. And he walks away. So obviously they've got him in a cell somewhere. Yeah, I hope he doesn't come back. But I don't have a problem with Abomination because he's just got to be a better version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
The real villain of that film's Ross. So if you make, and I don't actually have a problem with that film. It's fine.
It's throwaway fun.
It is throwaway fun, but I still think if you made a tweak to Abomination, I don't have it at hand, but I think it is about making it so it's a believable thing. Like, I know if you go in the Seven Deadly Sins, it's greed. I guess he was greedy for power because he just wants that power.
Well, I think if you make it Here you go. Yeah. Blomsky wants Ross's approval.
All right.
He wants Ross to see him as the good, great leader and will do anything Ross says, including become Abomination. And when it gets out of hand, he's like to Ross, help me. And Ross is like, actually, I fucked up. You're on your own. And then it's Wrath and he's like, well, fuck you then. I'm stronger than the Hulk. And then it's two people
Hulks on your hand.
Who both want, at one point or another, wanted Ross's approval.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it.
Good.
Now we're cooking. That's good. Cooking.
You're welcome.
Ronan. Ronan's interesting because...
Kill him. No, what?
Because in the film, like, what's the motivation? They do give him
Starfleet destroyed his, like, people.
That should, in theory, be enough.
That should be enough.
But why isn't it? I don't know why he doesn't work.
I think it's... Because he's like, fuck you, Thanos, now I have the ball.
Is it because they keep undermining him a little bit?
I don't know.
I think so. And I think it's because he's so over
it's
the top.
Because we can't remember.
Yeah, it is a bit that. But no, I think it is because they keep undermining him. And they don't use that enough. They don't, like, that should be put back on the Starfleet or whatever they're actually called, the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
That
Glenn Close killed his family.
Right. Let's get some of that. Let's get some of that interaction where she has to justify it to him. She has to justify it to us as an audience, you know.
That's more interesting, definitely.
Yeah. And justify it to Star-Lord.
Yes.
He's like, hang on, you're shitty.
Yeah.
You're shitty. I'm shitty, but you're really shitty.
You're worse.
Maybe because I should give him the ball.
The whole thing is the Guardians are like shitty people.
Right.
And like, nah, Ronan's a shitty dude, but it's your fault he's a shitty dude.
Yeah.
And then you could even lean into the fact that Gamora could be like, yeah, I was exactly the same as him, and then I met Thanos, and then once you met Thanos and you're angry, that's it.
Mm.
Like, if you're angry at something enough, Thanos will just be like, great, you'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Thanos wants an overcall gone.
Yeah.
Yellow Jacket, Darren Cross.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's there. Mm. The glimpses are there. He wants Hank Pym's approval and he wants to be able to do the Pym particle to get acclaim.
I think he's almost there when you watch
it. He's so close.
We're like, what, 10% away from it being
Yeah. I reckon he's actually there. They just didn't put it in the film.
There's probably two, maybe three scenes missing. Just
I reckon even two and
it.
A half. Just amp up more of him being excited about the Pym particle and talking about him and Hank and how Hank doesn't really give him a time of day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can even then have the scene where he goes to dinner with, what's Janet? The Wasp?
Yeah,
what's her name?
Yeah.
Janet?
Yeah.
And he gets angry at her because he's talking about how great her dad is. And she's like, no, dad's a dick. You only actually want to be married to me so that you can be my dad's son.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's a nice thing. And then you tie in the fact that the shrinkage shit makes his brain go crazy a bit.
Yeah, because they literally say that in a throwaway line. And then you're like, what? All right. Fucking hell.
Yeah. And I think that you could have used that better where we still think he's sane, but then there's little glimpses of it. And we almost don't want to believe that he's crazy because no. It's just because he wants to be Hank Pym's son.
Yeah.
And then he pushes over that line like, oh, fuck. No.
The first time he squishes a guy and wipes him away.
He genuinely has lost his mind. Yeah. Now.
Something's not right with him.
Yeah.
That needs to be at a point. That murder happens too early. It needs to be at the halfway point.
You need to like him before that.
Yeah, and then you need to like him before
that. Oh, whoa.
Because you need to like him and then be like, so why does Hank not like that guy, but like Scott? Scott's a bit shit.
He's a bit shit. I think the Janet reveal is a little early. It's very early in the film that they reveal that she's working with Hank. Yeah. I would keep that halfway.
Keep that hidden and that helps. That helps
That helps you like Darren Cross a bit more.
That helps you like Darren.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dazza.
That's all we need to do with her. Killian, Aldrich Killian from Iron Man 3, Guy Pearce.
Get rid of him? No, seriously, get rid of him. You probably don't even need the Mandarin. Mm. The villain needs to be
Rebecca
Ferguson.
Yeah.
Trying, again.
Not Rebecca Ferguson.
Rebecca Hall. Hall. I've got the greatest showman on the mind.
Yeah.
Here you go. It's the same thing. It's the similar thing to Guy Pearce. She idolized Tony Stark. She thinks she's trying to do the right thing. Mm. And Tony Stark's at a point where he's like almost at the Civil War Avengers 2 stage where he wants to back off. He's like, actually, I think after everything that's happened, I think I'm partially to blame. We need to back off a bit. And she can be like, no, look, I've done what you've done. And she invents Extremis. And then it's like, look, I did it. And he's like, And then if you have the Mandarin be a real person, he steals Extremis.
Yeah.
Or he works for Hydra and she sells it to him if you want to keep it part of the MCU.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm just doing what you did years ago. You know,
Wasn't there a thing like her character was supposed to be?
She was supposed to be the villain.
The villain, and wasn't it? It was a toy sales thing, wasn't it? That kind of pushed the decision. God, it was like they weren't going to sell figurines of her, so it had to be Guy Pearce. That's literally
no, but they didn't even sell figurines of Guy Pearce. They only sold figurines of the Mandarin,
like him later in the film as Mandarin, or you mean as the Trevor Mandarin?
No, Mandarin from like when he's being the Mandarin.
Yeah, I love the Trevor reveal, but Ben Kingsley's Mandarin's not bad.
No.
Yeah, that was the issue.
I
liked it. I liked his character. Yeah.
And then the reveal's very funny, but then what follows afterwards, it's like, oh, Guy Pearce is the guy, and it's like, no, this is really underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that, oh, Guy Pearce can melt people?
Yeah.
Cool.
Ultron.
He doesn't actually take a lot. Maybe lose some of his jokes. The actual issue for Ultron is he's actually a fine villain. It's the film itself that has a massive issue.
Yeah.
Ultron's goal makes sense.
Some of the ideas that and the themes they're presenting are good.
He's like, actually okay. It's everything else around him, I think.
I agree. Because, yeah, like you said before, James Spader's speech, which I think they even gave us in the fucking trailer, because of course they did.
The strings thing.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Mm. It is amazing. Like, it's James Spader at his best. And
they're all just puppets on. He's got that fucking awesome voice too.
Yeah.
He does, and it's gorgeous. But then I didn't see enough of that in the actual movie.
No. You get the sense that that bit at the start is like, that's what Joss Whedon wanted to do with the character.
Right.
And then a bit of studio interference happened in that film. And sure. I just wonder. Although, no, it's very Joss Whedon to make him jokey. So yeah. I think he's to blame for that.
He can have the quips because he's Tony Stark's son.
Yeah, that's
the angle you take.
That's
is
the angle
that,
that it works.
He's Tony's son.
Like, it should work. Yeah. You hear it like that and you're like, yeah, of course he'd be quippy.
And then what you do is that towards the end of the film, you have him flip because he's like, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Yeah. And Tony's like, this isn't what I asked you to do. He's like, yeah, you told me to do this and you told me to do this. And Tony's like, no, I didn't. I have to destroy it. And he's like, huh. And you're just like everybody else. I'm going to cut your strings off or something like that, you know.
Obadiah Stane is one that I don't mind.
I don't mind
until
either.
Until the end fight scene, which is
just
shit.
Yeah. But no, you do see his point of view.
Yep.
You totally get where he's coming from. And good reveal, I think, of him as a villain.
Yeah, I think so too. It's really just that
last fight. And you probably just fix that with a little bit of he doesn't necessarily, he's not trying to hurt Tony, but Tony starts hurting him or something else happens and maybe Tony thinks he's trying to get back into weapons, so buys him out of the company, like kind of betrays him a bit. And he's like, I raised you. Fuck you then. I'm gonna kill you.
Again, you're making it so the heroes created him.
Yeah.
He's pushed him over the edge, which Tony Stark on his worst day, of course he would.
Absolutely. He invented Ultron and he tried to kill Captain America.
He
kind of just laughed off creating Ultron. It was like, oh, this is pretty bad, isn't it, guys?
Yikes.
Yeah, that's literally what happens in the movie. He's like, oh, this is bad.
See, I would just go back to Ultron for a second. I would like to see him be bad Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like when Tony Stark doesn't give a shit and is, because Tony Stark's almost like a bit manic depressive. He's almost like, he can be hyper and totally on top of things and then he can go pretty dark.
Yeah.
And so if we had Ultron just sort of encompassing that dark side of him and just being powerful, because Tony Stark is powerful.
Yeah.
And then, being Tony Stark.
Being everything that Tony Stark couldn't be. Yeah. And that's the whole thing. He's like, I'm the shield that'll protect humanity.
Yeah. Enchantress. Get rid of Amanda Waller.
Yep. Yeah. Kill her. Oh, no, keep her as a Suicide Squad member. Just don't make her the villain.
Lex, we've kind of talked about Lex already and what he needs. Zod.
Zod's fine.
Well, Zod's fine.
Zod is nearly there. I'd say he's probably about 90%. Off the top of my head, I don't know what you would do to just make him just that little bit better. I think it's partly playing off Henry Cavill, who's just not quite bringing it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't match what Michael Shannon's doing, I suppose.
Good luck, though.
Michael Shannon's got intensity plus.
True. Dr. Poison.
I think you fixed her.
I think I fixed her in the Wonder Woman one, honestly. Yeah.
Whatever you did to her, do that.
Can we do anything with Doomsday?
No, I don't think so. I think Doomsday's problem is in his inherent.
Is he just straight up, he's a monster, so he's just a monster nothing made of you kryptonite. Can really do with him.
No, he's just a monster made of kryptonite.
To that, like if I was then developing those films with DC, I would just say, we can't use him then because you want something more from your
villains. Well, no, you use him, but you use him better with Luthor. Luthor's like, fine, I'll use Doomsday, and then goes, I've done a terrible thing.
So you need the...
He's a weapon.
He's the physical one, and Luthor's the intellectual, and you have to play that up more.
Yeah.
Steppenwolf.
Fuck him off.
Mate. Yeah, like...
Fuck the whole movie off.
Yeah, fuck the whole movie off. Like, that one's, again, you've got the problems arise from so much more than...
Just make it Luthor again.
His character. Yeah.
He's there. Yeah. If you fix Luthor in all the other films, make him the main bad guy in... I needed to lean more into that in my fix.
It's kind of that thing you mentioned before, that comic. The Justice League film could have been just that. It could have been Luthor has stolen Batman's files and using it against them.
You probably then need another film.
Yeah, you do. It probably needs a
Basically, DC need three more films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before BVS.
I think if you're going to use Steppenwolf, you'd use him like how you mentioned Red Skull before. He literally wants to recreate the world, which I think you did do in your pitch, in his image. But make it fucking believable. Like, he just wants to destroy. Where it shouldn't be about destruction. It should be about, in his mind, recreation, improving the world.
Or just bring Darkseid in then.
Yes.
Right. Like,
because we're gonna build a cinematic universe. So, like Marvel did 10 years ago. Yeah, we're 10 years too fucking late because we're dumbasses.
So, what are our main takeaways? It's more like we always call it the hero's journey, but you've got to consider...
Be better?
Yeah, just general be better. You've got to consider the villain's journey. You've got to consider that the villain creates the events that have to be responded to.
Yeah, and if, like, I don't think we've mentioned the mirror thing a lot. I don't think that's a necessity, but it definitely improves them. Mostly because it basically gives them a point of view. It gives them a reason for what they're doing because it's the same as the heroes.
Yeah.
Where as soon as you don't have that, I'm not on board.
Even just as a case study, as soon as you, when you apply that mirror thing, it's generally been great. It's worked out beautifully and made some of the strongest and most memorable iconic villains that we've had so far.
For sure.
Like, again, you look at Daredevil when you have him going up against Punisher and the Kingpin versus when he's just going up against the Hand, how much good that show is.
Good
speaking. Yeah, but Daredevil has some great villains exactly because, they're mirror images of him just on a bad day.
Yeah. I think we've covered it.
I reckon we have.
We've done it.
Well done. On that note, I've been Carney.
I've been Tom.
I've been Damien.
And if you want to, talk to us about what villains you like, what villains have worked for you, what hasn't, what you'd like to see in the future of the MCU or the DCEU, you can reach us at moviemaintenance@sanspants.com or on Twitter at @MMSanspants or reach us individually. I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
And I'm at Midday Pajamas.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard and, like a savage beast, you want more, consider becoming a member of Sans Pants Plus. For as little as $5 a month, you'll get lots of bonus content and exclusive instructions on how to survive the coming rapture. Just head to sanspantsplus.com. You all come back now, you hear? We made the big time, malicious and mad. We're the very best at being.